Welcome to the Broadway Radio Show. I'm Donald Feltham, and I'm very happy to welcome back Nick and Desi. That's Nicholas Dromard and Desiree DeVar. Welcome back, guys.
Thank you. It's nice to be back.
I'm good. It's been almost a year since you guys were here, and a lot has transpired in the last year. A lot of wonderful things and a lot of not so wonderful, challenging, I would say challenging things.
That's correct.
Challenges that life throws at you that you have to overcome, which we will talk about. But mainly we're here to talk about the fact that one of the great things is you put together an album called La Vie en Rose, which is out and available. It came out at the beginning of the year. Actually, those of us who were involved in your campaign to get it put together received our copies on New Year's Eve, which was kind of a treat. I didn't know it was coming until I got the little email and said, oh, look, for New Year's Eve, I have an album to listen to. So let's talk about the album in terms of what was the impetus to get the album made. I mean, why did you guys want to put together an album?
Well, we love singing and dancing together, right?
Right.
So and then performing the last few years, when we do a lot of community concerts and shows, a lot of people say, well, do you have an album or can we hear you on Spotify and stuff? And after a year and a half of hearing us say no, we're like, you know what? We need to put an album together and record some of our favorite songs. And that's kind of how it came to be. And we then picked our favorite songs that we've been doing in our shows, some of our favorite arrangements that were created for us, as well as some classics. And
it worked out because we just had 10 days of a tour and so many people bought the album.
That's right.
And it's most of the songs we sing on stage. Yeah. So it's a treat for them to go home if they have a CD player and play it in their car or at home.
Right. Well, and people still do have CDs. I mean, for a while there, it looked like digital was going to be the only thing available. But I'm seeing more and more stuff is coming out on CD and then also vinyl because people are collecting vinyl again.
Yeah, that's
kind of crazy.
We should make one.
Part of us wants to do a limited 50 copies of a printed vinyl, autograph it, and then
it for ourselves.
Yeah,
it's so neat and different to listen to.
Absolutely.
Yes, it's a different sound. So to get the album made, you guys chose to do crowdfunding because you did Indiegogo. So
correct.
Talk about that, the choice of doing crowdfunding and what the experience is like, because it's something that a lot of people are choosing to do. And it is kind of an interesting thing to do because it makes it kind of a collective experience.
Yeah.
Because it becomes, because it's not only friends and family, but it's also fans, and it becomes a communal effort of the artist and their community to put together something.
Yeah, it's great. It relieves some of the financial strain of having a album, as well as we don't have a producing, a record label to put up the funds. So the choice to crowdsource was also because we had such a nice following from our virtual concerts, from our last few years of accumulating fans and followers on social media, that we offered a chance to pre-order the album, also special perks such as like a CD release party. So we had a few people who donated a certain amount at our last show, which was like our CD release. So they got free tickets, they got the album, they got perks and additional perks for donating to the CD release. So it was really great to see how many people backed us,
that believed in it.
Believed in the album.
Listen, have a recording of this.
One person was like, you know what? As soon as you hit the halfway part, I'm giving an extra $1,000.
Yeah.
So that gave us an extra juice to be like, okay, great. Let's pester as many people as we can. But it was really wonderful to have that much support behind us for creating one of our dreams of an album.
Well, and it becomes exciting because people can monitor it and they can watch and you can see, it's almost like a telethon in a sense, because people get really excited as you're trying to reach that goal and people are tracking day by day and you guys can, you give people updates and people get really involved in it and they and they can send messages and they can make posts and encourage other people to donate.
Yeah.
And it also shows you the support you have with your community, which really helps. And I think
people who don't support us too.
Yes, exactly. But it also gives you a kind of different feeling, because a lot of recording artists are usually you're really isolated. You've got a label behind you, and that's where you're working with the label team, and you go into a studio with a producer and you do the album, and you don't have any feedback or connection with the listening audience. necessarily. And this way you have a much more in touch with the people.
Yeah.
As you're preparing and before you even go into the studio, because you guys, I think if I remember the campaign launched in June, right? It was like June of last year.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And your goal was to, like, I think end it in July.
Yeah.
And the plan was to go into the studio in September.
Correct.
Which we did.
And we did. Yeah.
And you went to the studio in September, right?
Yeah. We're hoping to have the album out to the crowd by like November, early December. It took a little longer, but came out and New Year's Eve.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and my heart beats so that I can hardly speak, and I seem to find the happiness I see. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Heaven, I'm in heaven, and the cares that hung around me through the week seem to vanish like a gambler's lucky streak. When we're out together dancing cheek to cheek.
Oh, I'd love to climb a mountain and to reach the highest peak, but it doesn't thrill me half as much as dancing cheek to cheek. Oh, I'd love to go out fishing on a river or a creek, but I don't enjoy it half as much as dancing cheek to cheek.
Come on and dance with me, I want my arms about you,
charms about you will carry me through.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven.
Oh, I'm in heaven.
I'm in heaven. And my heart beats so that I can hardly speak. And I seem to find the happiness I see. When we're out together dancing.
When we're out together dancing.
When we're cheek to cheek.
You've selected all the tracks. You've got all the arrangement. Because people also, I mean, I have people who come on the show and talk about putting together an album. And besides the Indiegogo campaign, there's a lot of logistics that go into putting together an album, and it is not easy, especially when you're doing it on your own. You have to put together the arrangements, you've got to get musicians, you've got to get studio time, and it's a lot. And this is the first time you guys have done this.
Yeah.
So what were the challenges that came up that you did not expect? Or did it go pretty smooth?
It went pretty smooth.
You know why? Because I think these are all arrangements that have happened for us in the past 2 years, that they're similar to others, but they're different. They're ours. Mm-hmm. You know, we had a couple people do that for us. So I think we already felt comfortable with the songs where it's just already in our bodies, that it was easy to be in the room doing it and feel comfortable and choosing them. Also, we knew exactly what we love the most and what could be a little different than most. I'm trying to think, is there anything that comes to mind?
Very lucky that from touring the last few years between Jersey Boys, Wicked and Mary Poppins, that I'm familiar with a lot of musicians that are based in New York, San Diego. I mean, it's LA, San Diego, New York. So when it was time to decide where we were going to record an album, I knew that Taylor Peckham, our musical director and pianist, lives in San Diego.
Yeah.
And he worked with a few other people who were in LA. So we brought Brian LaFontaine, the guitarist. And then I knew David and his brother Jordan were the drummers and bass players. So I just...
And Daniel Weidlein, who has Bio Soul Music.
Yeah.
We know him. We've worked with him before, and we've known friends that have recorded there. So it was a very comfortable atmosphere. And for planning, because you did more of the logistical stuff.
Because I'm good at it.
Did you feel that it was difficult planning you know, money and like time and everyone kind of.
No, I asked Daniel at the studio the availability. Then he gave me a quote for the studio and record and producing. And then I contacted the musicians. They said yes. I said reserve these 2 dates. Boom, and it was a perfect storm of lining up everything in September. You know, 9th.
It was a little later than what we wanted, but we got it in.
Yeah.
We had a lot going on.
Yes, that's right. Yes. We had to fit in some doctor's appointment around there, but it had that done, and it was perfect.
Yes, which we're going to get to now, because you're, I mean, as I said, life throws at you certain things that you have, challenges that come up, and you know, you had your Indiegogo campaign ended in July, and your studio time was scheduled for September, but then something came up in August.
That's right. So when we moved from New York to California in July, and I was driving cross country with the two dogs farting in the back seat, which was great.
I flew with our daughter. Sorry about that.
It's okay. I had fun.
Yeah.
But as I was driving, I felt a little tickle in the back of my throat as if there was a hair on my tongue, and I just couldn't scratch it off or cough it. And so a week later, I noticed that my lymph node in my neck was swollen. And after 2 weeks of it not going down and me not having a cold or cough or any infection, I was like, I should go get this checked out. So I went to an ENT who ordered a biopsy. And 2 weeks later, I was diagnosed with tongue cancer, squamous cell carcinoma. So the tumor, after a PET scan, they found the tumor was started at the back of my tongue. Uh-huh. So after talking with a medical oncologist, a radiation oncologist, and a surgeon, the plan of attack was to get the surgery to remove the tumor. And at that time, not knowing the pathology report, they said there might be a chance that we don't have to do chemo or a radiation.
We were hopeful.
We were hopeful, crossing our fingers. But the pathology report came back and the lymph node was completely taken over by cancer. And so just for caution, because I'm so young, they recommended a chemo and radiation so that it never comes back. If I was older, they say, you know, let's chance it. If it comes back 5 to 10 years, we'll, you know, do it again or do whatever. But because I'm so young at 43 years old, they wanted to do everything possible so that it never comes back until I'm 120. So
and they hadn't worked with any singers before. So here in California, it was a very interesting thing because also you wanted to get in so quickly. They were just to see the oncologist. They were like, oh, we can do a month from now. And he's like, nope, I need to get this done. We had to cancel a lot of concerts, which is fine because this is so important. But he managed to get in like days, just within days.
It's so funny. I mean, the timing was tricky already because you had studio time in September. So you did the album before the surgery.
Correct.
Yes, knowing what was to come.
Right, exactly.
We had so many things happening in September between the doctor's appointment, the recording, then we had auditions.
We had Feinstein's at the Nico.
We had Feinstein's at Nico in San Francisco. Yeah. We had to run auditions for a show we were directing and choreographing in New York.
Yeah.
So September 15th, I saw the surgeon and she was like, okay, perfect scenario. When do you want the surgery? And we had a show at the Bourbon Room in LA on October 1st, right? It was Sunday the 1st.
Yes.
I said, Monday the 2nd, I want the surgery. And she's like, and the 2nd, how about the 3rd? I was like, yes, done. And then I did the math. I'm like, okay, so 4 weeks after surgery, I can start the chemotherapy and radiation. Six weeks after that will be December 3rd. And then we have a concert the 15th. Perfect. I'll do that.
And I'm the logical one.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Debbie.
This is very important. We don't even know what's to come.
Yeah.
I believe, and I didn't, I sometimes I'm negative, but there was never a thought with
most times negative.
Yeah. that he would lose his voice.
That would be the first thing I would think is how is this going to affect my singing voice?
Yeah. And it was a thing, but I just was like, I know it'll be fine because this is what we do. There's nothing, this is what we love doing. It has to. Right. And there was some very scary times, which you can talk about before the concert when he finally finished.
Yeah.
December, so tell that
the
timing.
First 4 weeks of radiation were piece of cake easy. But of course, I wasn't aware or I was ignoring the fact that radiation is accumulation.
Yeah.
So the worst of it is the 5th and 6th week and even 7th and 8th week after you're done, you start pain or residual. Essentially, you're radiating and then it comes back down. So about a week before the concert in our concert was December 15th in Billings, Montana. It was a holiday show created for us, arranged for Nick and Desi to come and sing. So we didn't want to cancel it, but a week before the show, I would try to sing and the swelling would kind of trigger my gag reflex. So I'd start singing and go, I can't sing.
I didn't even want to rehearse. I'm like, I can't. This is our show. If we have to get an understudy for my husband, which is fine. It's a show.
We did get an understudy. So, but luckily we get there 3 days in advance to start rehearsing with the orchestra and our the music director and our understudy. And at that point I said to him, learn all the songs.
Yeah.
And, I was trying to sing and still not good. But then 2 days before the show, all of a sudden my voice started feeling better. I could sing. And I was like, okay, still learn all the songs. Then the day before, I was like, I can sing most, but my upper register was completely gone. I could only sing to maybe a high, a D. And then above that, which I can usually sing to like even like a B flat, you know, the high D, even I couldn't, I had no. So any song that had a possibility of me changing the vocal arrangements and the harmonies, I did. And then the two songs that I was like, this is too hard, I can't, then are my understanding.
Which was fine. And he explained it to the audience and they were so sweet.
I'm sure.
It's just a moment that most people can relate with. There's so many people that have gone through cancer treatment.
Well, and it's not only your voice, because radiation treatment also takes a lot out of your body and your stamina. And it's very hard. I mean, I have friends who have been through chemo and radiation treatment, and it takes a lot out of your body. It's very stressful on your body. And when I looked at the dates, because I have followed you on Instagram, and I saw you, because you would post whenever you went in for a treatment. And then I saw your December 11th, I think it was, that you finished, and you were holding up your certificate showing that you finished your radiation treatment. And then I saw December 15th, your concert in Billings, Montana. And I sat there with my mouth hanging open going, it's 4 days later and you're doing a concert. Are you insane?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes. The answer is yes. Yeah. But I'm thinking, how is he physically capable of doing this? This is like unreal. But I bet that's who you are. You're a performer, and that's what performers do. The show must go on. And you plow through and you do it.
Someone to hold you too close. Someone to hurt you too deep. Someone to sit in your chair and ruin your sleep and make you aware of being alive. Being alive. Someone to need you too much. Someone to know you too well. Someone to pull you up short, to put you through hell and give you support is being alive. Being alive. Alive, make me confused, mock me with praise, let me be used, vary my days, but alone is
whose feelings you spare. Someone who, like it or not, will want you to share. A little, a lot is being alive. Being alive. Someone to crowd you with love. Someone to force you to care. Someone who'll make you come through, who'll always be there, as frightened as you of being alive. Being
frightened as you to help us survive. Being alive. Being alive. Being alive.
When the album came out, I was like, I need to have them back on the show because what you do is so important.
Yeah.
And it's such a great message to send to people. It's that you can overcome these things and you push through. And that's also what performers do.
Yeah.
And I don't think people realize that how much people put into performing and what it means to them. And that's what the life is about. It's for the audience and it's also for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So, how were you concerned? You were obviously Desi was thinking about this stuff because she was thinking about was concerned about the stamina and whether you were going to get your voice back, but you eventually did get your voice back.
Yeah. And yeah, we did the show and my stamina was luckily the holiday show did not have long big dance numbers.
There was 48 pieces.
Yes.
So it wasn't just us. It's like they would go off and play for five minutes.
Yeah. And then it would go into a big musical orchestra section.
It was an evening of amazing music, not just
musicians. Yeah.
You were like guest stars.
It wasn't our difficult. What we do when we just do our two person, it's us the entire time tapping and it's different.
Yeah. So the first show that really testing my stamina was when we performed back in December. I mean, in January at the Green Room 42 in New York, was a 75 minute show of us singing and dancing our usual.
And I did it.
It was fine. I wasn't too tired at all, which was good. It was 4 weeks after the end of treatment.
Lovely because, at that moment, many people that haven't had a chance to make it to our show, friends and people in the business, they came out because also just to support Nick. And it was wonderful.
Yeah, it was great.
Very, very positive and exciting.
Yeah.
Because you can sing.
Yeah.
Can you believe it? You need to tell your doctor.
Absolutely.
Send him a video or something.
Well, one of the things the surgeon was like, I've everybody who I've treated, I've never had a singer, but everybody who's come back, they've never had a change in their voice. Okay. They said my talking voice and speaking voice is back. So that gave me confidence to be like, yes, it's not. And the radiation where it was far away from the vocal box. So he's like, yeah, it's far. It's not. The swelling might affect it, which it did, but then after the swelling goes down, everything should go back to normal. And now at this point, I'm back at 90, I'd say about 91%.
Yeah.
There's still a little range of like three notes where it's still weak, but it's a muscle and it will be trained again to go back and I'll have my full range.
It's like you losing 30 pounds because you went through so much and couldn't eat or taste.
Yeah.
You're building back.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. But you are back and you guys are back performing a lot.
Yes, we have.
Schedule's busy, right?
We have 15 shows in Montana.
We just finished a 10-day tour through Montana, which had like five concerts at night plus student outreaches where we'd go to school and do a 35-minute concert
and sing for them.
And we at one point we'd had three student outreaches in one day and a concert at night. And it was, we did it.
It was a lot of work.
And why Montana?
It's just
a
showcase.
Last year there was a showcase that we went to. Our managers brought us there.
Yeah.
And those people were just, they don't see dance. There's lots of bands that come through and it's just something special.
Yeah.
The kids loved it. They were so sweet and like inspired and... Yeah, and this just happens to be the month that we have Montana show. We have other ones. We have stuff in like Oregon and
West Virginia, New York, and then we have our Montana.
But Montana, there's not a lot there for entertainment, so I think it's
something
that
it is.
Read it. But yeah, very rich.
Butte, Sydney, Glasgow, Malta. Then we have Fort Benton, White Sulphur Springs, Superior, Polson. That's all of Montana. Yes. So we have great. It's great.
Yeah.
Nick and Desi love Montana.
I just got an invitation through the mails. Your presence requested this evening. It's formal, a top hat, a white tie, and tails. Nothing now can take the wind out of my sails, because I'm invited to step up this evening with top hat and white tie and tails. I'm putting on my top hat, tying up my white tie, dusting off my tails. I'm doing up my shirt front, putting in my shirt studs, polishing my nails. I'm stepping out, my dear, to bring an atmosphere that simply reeks with class. And I trust that you'll excuse my dust when I step on the gas. For I'll be there, taking off my top hat, mussing up my white tie, dancing in my tails.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits? Putting on the Ritz. Different types who wear a day coat, pants with stripes and cutaway coat, perfect fits. Putting on the Ritz. That's where each and every Lulu Bell goes. Every Sunday evening with their swell bows, rubbing elbows. Come, let's mix where Rockefellers walk with sticks and umbrellas in their midst. Putting on the Ritz. If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
We are in 2024.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
The album is out.
Yes.
And how has the response been?
It's been great. People have been loving it. We love it. Mm-hmm. There's a track, a bonus track at the end, which has our daughter singing on it, which
that's her favorite song. So we're like, just let's have her sing it with us. And she, you can hear the, some of it. She sings harmony.
Yeah.
She's just so, her ear is amazing.
Yeah.
We loved doing this, and I think These are pretty much our favorite songs. One day we'll get sick of singing them.
You're not. Well, but that's okay. You changed your repertoire, then you do another album.
Exactly.
We already have like half an album.
We definitely, yeah.
But
yeah.
What was really wonderful is that we tap dance on this album. So yeah. Here, yes.
Which is different.
Brings us back to, you know, the days of Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire when
MGM music.
You know, hear the soundtrack, and on the soundtrack, like you're listening to Sing in the Rain, there's parts of it that have tap dancing, which is wonderful. Yeah.
So now that 2023 is behind you.
Yes.
How has everything changed you guys? I mean, what you went through was a lot. I mean, you went through the good thing, which is putting together the album, but then you also went through the health crisis and pulled that. So how has it changed you individually, but it also changed you as a couple and also changed you as parents? Because it has to, I mean, when cancer comes into your life, it brings a lot of things to the forefront. It brings mortality to the forefront, which you look at yourself as parents, as a couple, as an individual. Has it changed you guys? Has it made you stronger?
I think that we were kind of on the path of change literally like a month before this happened, because we decided to move to the West Coast to be near family. So I think it was a blessing that this all happened when it did, because if we were in New York, the support system, of course, there's friends and stuff, but I think that we just have more support here. Mm-hmm. And also we've learned in this past summer that we've made so many connections in the LA area, because there's not a lot of Broadway stuff, and we just have felt really welcome. Mm-hmm. And have done a lot of things, and it's just family. It's been so important, and I'm so glad that we changed where we needed to be before this happening, because I just, that was already in the forefront, just family and being feeling just a little bit more comfortable with where we are, because New York was, and Jersey City was just, it was just getting a lot, getting to be a lot for us. Mm-hmm. That I don't know, I think it just all happened for a reason. I am sorry that you went through this, but I'm glad it happened when it did.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. Go ahead and say
that. I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason. And so the fact that I had health insurance, we were dear, so being supportive, and then being able to recover and just go in the backyard and bask in the beautiful sunshine and the palm tree, that was great for my mental health as well. So, you know, yeah, it changes you. Of course it changes you. It makes you appreciate things and kind of like, don't take every day for granted. And like you said, no matter what obstacles are in the way, I'm always been pushing through. And this was another obstacle, just like recording the album. I don't see the obstacles. I focus on the ways around the obstacles. Uh-huh. And so when cancer came along, I'm like, okay, what do I need to do? What do I need to do? I talked to the surgeon, the radiation oncologist, and they were like, these are the steps. This is what you should be recommending. And I was like, okay, this is my choice. Let's do it. When? Now. Let's go.
Yeah, you're lucky because it was like, how about a month from now? You're like, absolutely not. He's like text messaging doctors about it just to get them in sooner. Yeah.
It's
we are, I think, a little bit closer as a family, and just trying to take the next step of what we want from what we do.
Yes.
The Montana gigs have been a lot, and we're like, we maybe don't want to be so full out and leave for weeks at a time. We want to really enjoy our show and do it, you know, as much as possible when it feels right.
That's right.
Because what we do, we love doing what we do. I don't think there's a lot of people that, you know, a married couple that sings and tap dances on stage. So
I can think of
we're
one.
Thankful.
Us.
We have to continue doing this, whether it's once a month, once every 2 months.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven
to touch. I wanna hold you so much. At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you.
Pardon the way that I stare. There's nothing else to compare. The sight of you leaves me weak. There are no words left to speak. But if you feel like I feel, please let me know that it's real. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Take my eyes off of you. You'd be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much.
At long last, love has arrived, and I thank God I'm alive. You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off of you. Let's go!
True. You know, and just focusing on not having stress in your life.
Yeah.
And it's just right. That's stress.
And that's, what would you tell Nick, what would you tell someone who is coming to terms with a recent cancer diagnosis? Because I know it's difficult. Because, like I said, I've had friends who've had the diagnosis, and that first getting that initial news is really difficult. It's really hard.
It is. It's so ubiquitous nowadays. I mean, cancer, it's ever so many. It's not like, and the research and the quality of the medical care these days is improved. So I say stay positive and just do your research and listen to your doctors and chat with as many people as you can to have that support, because it's curable. You have to stay positive. You have to, you know, there's some, of course, that if it's caught really too late, it's unfortunate that there's not a lot you can do. But
the thing is, you know, like some people, everything happens for a reason. There was a couple shows before we left New York that Nick was very close to that would have kept him out of town, an out of town tryout, all of this. And if this happened, which it would have, he probably would have ignored it for the time being.
Yeah.
Because you are so focused on a show or something important, you don't want to let people down. Mm-hmm. You just have to listen to your body and be aware of what you feel like, because this was something different.
Yeah.
It wasn't drastic, but it was different.
True.
And that's the important thing. catching things early if you don't feel the same or usual.
Right.
That's, I think that's so important. And I'm so happy that you went when you did.
As you said, Donald, you know, we're performers, we push through.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a show and you're doing a lot, people ignore their illness.
Yeah.
They're on stage, they cough, they take medicine to not perform. If I was in a show that, and I had this, I would have probably ignored it for a week, a 2 weeks, a month maybe, which then at that point would be, you know, further along. And so, you know, when in doubt, if you can, just see a doctor and
that's
see,
it's get important
tested.
That you and posted about and this because it's such a, the throat and the tongue.
Yeah.
There's a whole Instagram about, there's a beautiful contemporary dancer, Katie Droblos.
Yeah.
That he connected with. She had something,
same tongue? Thing. Tongue cancer.
Same thing. And she had these so many things, but like she's good now and she's inspiring people and they
connect to her show.
It means more than you think because something is different. You're like, I need to go. Yeah. So it's he's very young.
That's the thing is that your body actually sends you signals.
Mm-hmm.
It tells you when something's wrong and people just have to listen. Exactly. And a lot of times they don't listen to the signals your body's sending you. And trust me, your brain knows it. Your brain sees those signals and oftentimes you just ignore it and you just can't.
Yeah.
And you know it. You know when something's wrong and you just have to recognize the signal and do something.
Yeah.
So what's ahead in 2024 for you guys personally and professionally? It's more shows, obviously, but it sounds like you really want to kind of bask in the family and bask in, you know, having your time.
Yeah, we'd love, you know, to perform in Palm Springs in LA and do a full length show there.
There's I mean, Palm Springs has the Purple Room now, which is fabulous.
Serve as well. There's two venues there that are stunning. We did an open mic there a few months ago, and there was an aged manager there who manages. We booked a show at one of the Palm Desert Valley community center with you know, 400 or 500 seniors there. Like it's been great. The response
she was there. She's like, "Give me your card," and then right away. So
perfect.
Yeah, I think there's. I don't know. It sounds really positive and wonderful to do more stuff here because sometimes New York City is saturated with these types of shows. And I think people have really appreciated us when we did Bourbon Room in Hollywood. We did two things there and it was very fun because I think we're a little different than some of the people. And I think that we can just keep doing what we do and, you know,
and enjoy and see what the year brings, but focusing on being here and
being here, being with our daughter, being with family and
balancing the work-life performance balance.
Yeah.
And
a little bit more than New York City, I think here.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, I highly recommend the album. It is La Vie en Rose. It's a wonderful, wonderful album. Terrific.
Thank you.
Beautifully produced. And of course, you guys sound amazing on it. So congratulations. Congratulations on that. And continued wonderful health to both of you. I hope you had fun yesterday. I know that you guys were. Did you do what you planned on doing yesterday?
Yes.
We did.
We went to Disneyland. We surprised our daughter. And she was thrilled.
How did you surprise her? Did you like just put her in the car?
She had no school yesterday.
Ah.
I guess no school on Fridays for President's Day as well.
Yeah.
Okay.
We said, oh, we're going to go to Costco. I mean, we drove a little further.
You have to run some errands.
Yeah. And we pulled up off, you know, Anaheim. It's all Disney everywhere. She sees people walking with Mickey ears. She's like, oh, they're wearing Mickey ears. Oh, are they going to Disneyland? I'm like, probably. And she was like, oh, I wish we could go. Wait a second.
Has she been before?
Yes,
she
loves it. She's always asking, when are we going to go? And then, you know, I go, guess where we're going? And she's like, there's a whole video that I know. And she's like, where? I'm like, Disneyland. She's like, oh my gosh, Mama, that's so nice. Yeah. Thank you, Mama. I'm like, what about Papa? Oh, Papa, thank you so much.
Then we're all there. She's like, this is the best day of my life.
So it was fun. We had a great day.
She did great, too. Last time we were there, she kind of fell asleep like 8 p.m. in the stroller.
She stayed up.
Last night, she was running around still at 10 p.m. running to Peter Pan, waiting 40 minutes in line at 10 p.m. And she was like, yay.
We did it.
And then we finally got in the car and she was just like,
done.
Like,
yeah.
Out.
It was a great day.
Perfect day.
Good. Well, I hope you guys continued success, as I said, and I hope you'll be back on the show soon. Like I said, people, please purchase a download. Don't just stream, purchase a download of the album. Or pick up a CD if you can pick up a CD. And check out the website. Which website do you want people to go to find out your schedule?
Oh, Superheroes in Luck. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we have our brand, it's Nick and Desi, but superheroesinlove.com. That's where you can go to find out everything.
That's right. Yeah. Follow us on Instagram. There's links
Instagram
on our Instagram
that great as well. Superheroes in Love.
That's right.
Yes. That's what they are also known as, Superheroes in Love. Yes. Because that's what they are. Yes. That's what they are.
Especially now, even more.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. He is the man of steel.
Yes.
Correct.
And I am the bionic woman because I've had both of my
knee surgeries.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I didn't know that. Well, I guess you are. Yeah.
There's so much going on. Right. We're still here.
That's right.
You are still there.
Sing that song.
We're still here.
Anyway, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Donald.
Thank you.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel so spring has sprung. And every time I see you grin, I'm such a happy individual.
The moment that you speak, I wanna go play hide and seek. I wanna go and bounce the moon just like a toy balloon.
You and I are just like a couple of tots running across the meadow. So forget-me-nots.
You make me feel so young. You make me feel there are songs to be sung.
Bells to be rung and a wonderful fling to be flung. And even when I'm old and gray, I'm gonna feel the way I do today.
'Cause you make me feel so young.
So